Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donica, Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this rainy Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. We, at this time on Wednesday, say hello to Chris Mason, who is now on the line with us, former Predator goaltender, now Willie's partner in the television booth on Fox Sports Tennessee. Chris, one thing you like, one thing you don't like about the NFL, or NFLs, Gary Bettman's NHL 24-team planned for the return. What did you? One thing you liked. One thing you didn't like.
Well, I honestly like the fact that they're going to try to play the game, and I think that they're doing the best they can. They're taking this precautious approach to this, which obviously you know they're going to do. I think the one thing I don't like, but I understand that they're trying to get as many teams involved and to. You know, try to figure out a way to best do this. There's no perfect answer, so there's nothing I really hate or anything like that, or I'm not one of those guys that says, you know, the integrity of the game and all this type of things, given the circumstances. But I don't love the fact that, you know, the team that's, let's say, 12th, you know, if they get hot and coming back from this and they could go on a long run when, you know, realistically they wouldn't have even made the playoffs. So that's kind of the one thing I would say that I don't love about it, but I understand, you know, they're doing the best that they can to try to make this work, get players back on the ice, and try to make as many people happy as possible. But if I were to pick one thing, that would probably be it.
It's up to Pittsburgh and Edmonton to take care of business then. That's
yep.
The way I look at it. Were you surprised Nashville was not included in the 10-city hub list? Not that they would have gotten it, but just not even on the list. Were you surprised at all or no?
I am, because I can't really picture a better place to do this, just with the central location and all the, obviously, the hotels right around the rink, and every team could have their, you know, own hotel or however they're going to do it. It surprises me. It really does that it's not, you know, in the running for one of the hub cities. But I'm sure there's reasons for that. But it did shock me to hear that they weren't on the list, at least.
Especially since the NHL has been so favorable to our city over the years, right? I mean, basically, you say Nashville to the NHL, and they go, yes. So, you know, I was surprised we're not on. I'd really love to know. Like, I have theories, but I'd love to know the explanation of why they didn't even make the list.
Well, you know, the one thing I think maybe is when I'm just thinking about this talking to you guys is maybe the access to other ice. You know, practice times and all that type of thing. And, you know, just if there's enough places for teams to get set up outside the main arena. I don't know that for certain, but, you know, that could be one of the things. But, I mean, they got the new Ford Ice Center, which is one of the top complexes around. So, it's tough. I'd be interested to hear. I don't know if they'll ever disclose that. I'm sure they'll come back and play and then, you know, it'll be neither here nor there, but I was surprised to not hear Nashville on the list for sure.
I certainly gravitated to that theory as well. You've got basically seven sheets of ice, right? You've got the two Ford Ice Centers, you've got Centennial, and you've got Bridgestone, and all of them you're going to have to take a bus to get to. You know, Centennial's easier, but, you know, Antioch and Bellevue, you're going to have to bus out there, and you could say, well, they're trying to keep maybe all that, you know, is contained as much as possible. But I'd love to then to know, okay, then what's the setup of all the other 10 hub cities? I mean, is Columbus got all these available, you know, sheets of ice that players could walk to, or right there by Nationwide Arena? Give me the setup in Pittsburgh. Give me the setup in L.A. I guess that's what I would like to know. What's the setup in Chicago? Like, tell me how the other cities that was more favorable.
I know. I don't know. It'll be interesting to hear when they, you know, I guess they said they're going to, the next couple weeks here, decide. But, you know, you get a little sneak preview, but I want more. I need to know more. Like, what are we doing on the broadcast? Are we going to be on location? Are we going to be in a room calling the game off a monitor? I need to, come on, Gary. I need details here. So they gave us a little bit, but I'd be very interested to hear, you know, what they say, why Nashville wasn't one of the cities. There's a lot of teams, you know, a lot of places being considered, but I'm sure they've got their reasons.
Chris Mason is with us. So, Mace, we're going to be analyzing this, I'm sure, for the next couple of months, but the matchup with the Coyotes. We've seen the Coyotes master the Predators a few times, and we've seen the Predators get the best of the Coyotes a few times, and it usually depends on where the game is. But now we have a complete neutral site, so this will be a really interesting one to cover, especially with the buildup. We're going to have so much time to look at every single player on the Coyotes roster.
Well, this will be. I mean, this is going to be crazy. And you know, when I look at that team, they've obviously got, you know, some talented players. They've got a great goaltending duo. They work really hard. Defensively, they're a good team. They got a good penalty kill. They're able to generate offense off of their penalty kill. But you're right, we're going to be able to do a really, you know, deep dive on the Coyotes here, getting ready for this, which is, this is, you know, a lot of times you don't even know until the last 2 days of the season. You know, who you're going to be playing. So right now in this unprecedented best-of-five series, you know, to see who they're going to be playing, it's going to be crazy. So we got our work to do, Big Bill.
Yeah, but we got time. For sure. Yeah. This is another thing in theory we're all looking at. And, Mace, you can probably look back and remember. It was the 1987 they changed the first round from 3 out of 5 to 4 out of 7. And I don't know why specifically it happened, but we know in hockey, even the biggest underdogs can win against the number one seed in a 4 out of 7. But back then there was even less teams. So you had a lot of years in the early 80s where teams that had very poor regular seasons still made the playoffs and in a 3 out of 5 every now and then did beat a powerful first seed. So
yeah.
It would seem like a 3 out of 5 makes even more of a randomness in a wide-open field, and we might see 3 out of 5 in not only the qualifying round, but we know the Predators-Coyotes series will be 3 out of 5, but maybe even the first two rounds of the playoffs, for time purposes, could be 3 out of 5. So think about how wide-open that makes it.
Yeah, that's the one that really gets me because – you know, and you hear some players talk about they just don't want to ruin the integrity of the game and the playoffs and the Stanley Cup, and that's the one that's tough. And I know they're, you know, the longer it goes, and they said, you know, possibly late July is at the earliest is when they're going to start. So it's going to be tough to, you know, figure out how to do this and do it without, you know, ruining the integrity of the game and having an asterisk on whoever wins this thing, which is, you know, it's a really good possibility that there will be regardless, but... I like the best of sevens. Like I for the playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, they got to go to a best of seven, and I really hope they do. I don't know if they will, but again, you know they're doing everything. They're taking every single thing under consideration. So I respect what they're trying to do, and obviously at the end of the day, we don't have a say in it, and I know I don't whether we like it or not. But it will be different for sure. But and like you mentioned though, it's up for grabs. Anybody gets hot. You know how teams go on at the beginning of the season, teams that I know for a fact, when I look at them, that they're not going to make playoffs, but they get off to a, you know, a 10-1 start or something like that. That's a big possibility. So you'd never know. It's wide open.
I thought about a guy like, yeah, along those lines, Mace, you're the right person to ask, because when you hit this reset button, you just never know what's going to put a goalie right back in that groove where all of a sudden he's got it and he's not going to relinquish it. You know every time he goes out there, he's going to give his team a chance to win. I think of a guy like Sergei Bobrovsky who has a nightmare season, but now everything's reset. He goes back out there. His team's in it. He's the perfect example. You could probably make the argument for any goalie, though, in this tournament that could happen.
Yeah, there's no question. In Florida, that's a dangerous team, too. They got a lot of high-powered offensive guys, and, you know, as you mentioned, Sergei Bobrovsky's, you know, Vezina-caliber goaltender. If he gets hot at the right time, you're looking at a scary team right there, and that could be anybody. And it's going to be very interesting to see, and, you know, same with the Arizona Coyotes. They got two guys. Darcy Kemper's been lights out. Antti Raanta. Those are a couple guys we don't hear about as often, but to me, you know, whoever gets, they get a hot goaltender, or you get your special teams really going early. I think there's an opportunity for this thing to be wide open until you get down to the, you know, to the nitty gritty. I think with the into the playoff rounds, but it's gonna be very interesting. I know I'll be watching. I watch a lot of hockey anyway, especially during the playoffs. But now I don't think I can miss a game just because these play-in series, the unprecedentedness, I don't even know if that's a word, but of this whole situation, it is going to be nuts.
I was watching the Golden Classic last night, and I know you've been watching them as well. There's another one coming up tomorrow night. Victor Arvidsson is just playing at a blistering pace in these games that we've been watching in the 2017 run. And he hasn't quite had that gear. He'd be the first to tell you this year. And maybe it was the Bortuzzo hit. Maybe it was something that was already bothering before that. He looked like he was starting to come back around when play was halted. He looked more like himself. But I wonder about a guy like him being able to rejuvenate and maybe heal up some things that were maybe keeping him back a little bit. That's pretty exciting to think about.
Oh yeah, the guys that the guys that were dealing with some sort of injury, and even though you come back and you rehab and you recover, and you come back to play with the team, you're still not 100%. You've lost a lot of the speed of the game, and you're playing catch up the whole entire rest of the way. And I think for a guy like that, everyone's starting even keel. It's all even up. Everyone's starting under the same circumstances. And I think that for him, you just get rejuvenated, because even when you come back and you're having a tough time or whatever, you're just not quite back up to your normal standard of play. It weighs you down mentally. It's like you're carrying around this big heavy weight with you, trying to achieve your best, your best game, and you're still playing catch up. And I think for a guy like him, this is, coming back, and these guys are going to be fired up, ready to go, and everyone's starting over. A guy like Pecorine, you never know. Obviously, we know how well Juice was playing, before the break there. But it's a whole new ball game. They can't wait around. If let's say someone starts, I don't know who's going to start, but let's say someone's in goal and they have a tough game, you got to make that decision right away and switch over and go with a hot hand. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Guy like Matt Duchene, some other guys, he was starting to get his game going as well. But, during the season, it was frustrating at points for those big players, Johansson, Forsberg, all these guys, weren't probably having their best season. So to have this come at this time, I guess, and to be able to just clear your brain and, get back to square one, it's a fresh start for everyone. And I think for the Preds, they got a lot of guys that this could be very good for.
Yeah, and you, Chris Mason, with us, you brought up Pecorine, which is where I was going to go with you, because we talked to Adam Vingan earlier today, and he said that three players that he feels like this stoppage has benefited, Pekka, Victor Arvidsson, and then the other that I'll ask about in a second, Ryan Johansson. But knowing Pekka like you know Pekka, and that there have been parts of this season that obviously haven't been what we've been used to seeing in the past, he was playing better. To me, he could be one of those weapons that's not really a big secret, but could be a beneficial weapon for the Predators in a playoff format like this.
Oh, yeah. When you have two goaltenders, Vezina caliber goaltender, obviously Vezina winner, and we know Pekka as well as anybody. And then Juuse Saros, young stud, capable of going on big, huge runs, taking down anybody. I mean, that's a 1-2 punch that I wouldn't want to mess with if they can get hot. But again, it's just so unknown, because no one's been able to skate or prepare, and now they're I see guys on social media, they're starting to get on the ice in private situations and settings. But for a guy like Pekka, who just loves the game, and he understands the situation of his career and the many opportunities that, or maybe not as many opportunities to take a shot at this thing. I think that this could be a good fresh start for a lot of these guys, especially they're getting away. They're finding a way. They really started to dial in their game, I think, as a team, in terms of playing, the system flawlessly the way that, John Hines wanted it to be done. And I think, for Pekka, you never know. I'd be very interested to see what's going to happen, when they all come back and who gets the first crack at the first start. And I think, Willie, you know this too. There's been talk of maybe a couple exhibition games potentially before they play the best of five.
Yeah, that's out there that they would do that. They would play a couple of exhibition games.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure that they
didn't say anything about that yesterday, though. They said that the teams that would get a bye, the teams that get a bye, those teams are going to play some exhibition games. In other
words, but Elliot Friedman tweeted that in addition to everything that was put out, that he has heard that the best of five would get a couple of exhibition games.
Okay.
That's weird.
Yeah.
How do you play those games?
Well, that's the thing.
Do you play your real lineup, or do you play your half of your lineup? Who that's a really interesting thing. Is it a competition between your two goalies to see who starts in game one?
Like, how do you do? You can't. I don't know. It's going to be how long are the training camps? I don't think they've announced that yet. I guess all the dates are still yet to be determined. But man, it's exciting. A lot of people, they just say cancel it and why bother doing this. But I'm intrigued. I'm excited to see how this all plays out, and it's going to be fun times.
Well, and I'm intrigued by it because there's so many unknowns with it that I love that. I mean, that's chaos in my mind, and I think that'll be entertaining. But I mentioned Ryan Johansson, and we've talked a little bit about him lately. But I look at the article he did with Joe Rexroad for The Athletic last week and how open he was to admitting that, things were off with him and that he wasn't living up to his expectations for himself, and he felt like he was letting his teammates down. And then I even go back to our Game 6 Remastered and the interview he did with Darren that was one of the best interviews I've ever seen Ryan Johansson do. And I bring all this up because I just feel like that there is he's awakened, so to speak. There's he's rejuvenated, and that is going to be dangerous for any team that faces the Predators and I know some of them, it's just words. You want to actually see the action, but I just feel like that Ryan Johansson is going to be dangerous whenever they drop the puck.
Yeah, I do. And you know what? The thing about him that he's really shown, I think, he's done a good job of he's been a playoff performer. He's played when the chips are on the table, and he's played his best hockey. So I think he's a guy that, he can just physically dominate and take over games. So he's a guy that I look to come back with a vengeance. And, they've been sitting there this whole time just chomping at the bit, because I know any time as a player, I've had a bad season that whole summer. My only focus is getting back to try to, prove myself again and try to redeem, put that last tough season behind you. And these guys have a great opportunity to do that, to put the season that might be a tough season. They were trending in the right direction. They probably felt good on the way out. And now with the time to refocus and to salvage, not your best season. I think it's a great opportunity for someone like Ryan Johansson, who's very, very capable of taking his game to dominant levels, with this situation coming back and playing best of five when the games, you don't have much time to get into a game that, means more than any game you played all season by far. So I think he's a guy that could really, be obviously turn his season around and be a huge, huge benefit and a factor for the Predators if they, if they're going to make a run at this.
As we wrap this up, I do want to say to both of you, I enjoyed watching the virtual broadcast the other night. That was fun.
Oh, did
you guys
you?
Did a good job.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. It's you get into it, I'll tell you. It's doing that game, that made me miss doing what we do even more. So it was that was a good time.
All right, Chris. Well, we appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Chris Mason joins us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We'll continue this conversation when we come back here on Darren Donican Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Little autograph bringing us back. Darren Donican Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Darren McFarlane, Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. That was a Darren McFarlane special bringing us back, so that was good.
It didn't suck, that's for sure.
No. And we want people to turn up the radio and listen to us.
Yeah, very good. Nicely done.
You like that?
Very well done. Pierre LeBrun, I saw a tweet during the break. He said the NHLPA has had individual calls with player reps in the last two or three days, kind of going over the decision to go with the best of five or best of seven for the first two rounds of the actual playoffs. Remember, kind of these play-in games are not – that's not the first round. The play-in round will be the best of five. We know that. But we're talking about once you get to that actual first round, they still haven't decided on what's the best format. We've been talking about that. They're hoping – for that decision by the end of the week as we sit here on Wednesday. So we may know by the end of the week what they come out with. I think they're going to go seven because they've already done 24 teams. So that's already not normal. Because that little round is going to be best of five, I think they're going to try to reach some normalcy here, and I think they're going to go start rounds one. Round one was a seven-game series. That's, as we've talked this through today, that's kind of where I'm leaning. I really haven't had a really strong feel one way or the other of where I think they may be leaning, but as we continue to talk about, the more I continue to think about it, I think they're going to try to get some normality back into the game, and they'll start round one with best of seven and go best of seven the rest of the way.
Do you care one way or the other?
It's hard to care one way or the other. The only way you would care is if you're a purist, right? If you're just a traditional hockey fan that says, oh, this is, you know, this is not
how
it's supposed to be done, and oh, my gosh, and I can use some words that I can't use on the air. Look what they've done to the product. And I think that's the only way. But that's already out there, right? We've already – there's no reason to go there because it's already not going to be normal. We already know, as we've talked about,
people
it's
going to
be
there.
Different. Yes, but, I mean, you've already changed the format. You've already changed what you've been accustomed to. So at this point, you don't really have that argument because it's already going to be different no matter what. I mean, because what if, and let's be honest, it's how many times have we talked about the NHL playoffs? It rarely goes chalk. We saw last year, I mean, the big bad Tampa Bay Lightning, the number one overall seed in the entire league, and it really wasn't even close. Didn't win a playoff game last year. Forget winning the series. Didn't win a playoff game. So, I mean, it's not going to be chalk. These Pittsburgh, Montreal, Carolina, Rangers, Islanders, Panthers, Leafs, Blue Jackets, Oilers, Blackhawks, Preds, Coyotes, Canucks, Wild, Flames, Jets. There's going to be upsets. They're just the team that's seeded lower is going to upset the higher seed. It's just going to happen. How many? I don't know. So
if you subscribe to the 3 out of 5 favorites, the underdog, that I wonder if that thinking goes – because the players get to vote on this, right? It's not all the league that gets to decide this. The players have a say. So if I'm playing for a team that gets a bye in one of those powerful teams like the Lightning, I'm certainly voting for 4 out of 7.
You're voting
right,
for
all
seven,
things being
sure.
equal.
Yes.
The underdogs might all vote for 3 out of 5, and they might make the rationalization, hey, we need to get through this. Let's make it quick. The more games we play, the more health risks there could be. You could make that argument, I think. And, hey, we need to make sure we get this done so we rest and we can start thinking about next season and not jeopardizing and going too far into December to do that. There's a lot of ways you can rationalize either one, I think.
If you're
so I'm
asking
curious
me
to see
to
how
think
the players
like the
end
yes.
up voting.
That's an excellent point. If you're asking me to rationalize this through the players' eyes, I think what you're saying is spot on. If I'm a player, I'm voting for 5 for many reasons. Just some of the things you just laid out. Get through it quicker. You get back to your family quicker because we don't even know if their family is going to be allowed or not, right? So
yeah,
the ones
know.
Making the long run, they may be without, and they may have newborns at home. And so there's all that. The quicker, the better. And as you said, getting preparation for next season, give a little bit more time to get your body right for a full season next year. If I'm going through a player's eyes, I'm thinking 5 all the way to conference final.
Yeah.
That's me. If you're asking me to think like a player, that's where I think the play. I don't know how much is their vote.
That's a very good
way.
Point.
How much is their vote worth?
It's worth a lot. And remember, too, they can also vote not to play.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying the point is they actually have a very powerful vote because if they really want to stick to their guns and say, we are only doing five game series, best 3 out of 5, all the way until we get to conference final, and that's that, the league will have to cave. Like I said earlier in the show, they didn't put all this out yesterday not to get this done. They're coming back. They're going to play. They're going to finish this season. There's going to be a champ. Somebody is going to win the cup. So they'll figure it out. And if the players are like, look, this is how we feel. We feel we're united on this front. It needs to be best of five all the way until conference final and the cup final. And that's that. And then those last two rounds will be seven-game series. But until then, it's five-game series, and really, we're not going to bend on this. The league will cave. They will.
And I'd be fine with that. I mean, because then, you know, you can almost look at it as, well, if you're cutting some games off a couple of series, you know, like you were just saying, it's less time away from your families, but it also can put next season a little more on track to starting on time, which would be good for everyone. So you're not constantly having to make up time. Like you've brought up, Darren and Willie. So I'm fine. I don't really lean either way of which one I prefer. I asked you that question because my answer is I don't necessarily care. But Willie, I think it's a good point. You look at it from the player's point of view, they probably would lean for the shorter amount of time and just getting it done.
I think you could rationalize it either way, because I do think it is a partnership. Right, the money mm-hmm. that is recaptured, the revenue, the TV money, does go into the pool for the salaries going forward, right? So the more games you play, the more money you generate. So that's one incentive to play 4 out of 7. But that may not be worth it to some of the guys. It'll be interesting. And remember this too, that's by far not the only thing that they are going to need to vote on and weigh in on. Donald Fehr was talking about, hey, we've still got to negotiate phase 3, which is your training camp, and then phase 4, which is what happens when you go to these hub cities. Like, there's so many of these little details that aren't as much fun to talk about on a sports talk show that they have to weave their way through. Some of the Devin Dubnyk questions that we raised yesterday, all of the stuff with, you know, what happens when you go in the bubble? Can you leave the bubble? You know, what if you got a family thing? All the what-ifs that could come up. They have to agree to all that before they could ever start this thing.
Are you asking that because you feel like you should have a strong opinion one way or the other? Do you have a strong opinion one way or the other?
On the 3 out of 5?
Yeah. Or 7?
I don't think I have a strong opinion one way or the other. If I'm strictly looking at it, what gives the Predators the best chance to win, then I think it might be 3 out of 5.
Really?
Yeah, but
I think so.
Doesn't that go back to what we were talking about before of you're almost hitting the reset button that you don't, I mean, any momentum that existed by any of these teams before the stoppage, I think doesn't exist now.
Correct.
So I feel
the same way. I don't.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how you could possibly.
Yeah, that's why my opinion really isn't that strong. Whichever one they go with, I'll be totally fine.
That's kind of how I feel. I mean, that's why I'm asking, should we feel strongly one way or the other? Because I don't know that anybody would really care other than the players, right?
Right.
To me. I mean, I guess maybe the league would care because they want the series. I don't even know why honestly, the league's eyes, you would say they want 7. That's more TV money. That's more money.
Definitely.
But that is the other part, though, for the players, though. 7-game series is more money.
The players have a stake in that. Yep.
So I don't know, honestly. To me, league, it's 7-game. Players, strong case for 5, but there's also more money to be made with 7 games. So
yeah, but
I don't know where they lean.
This could be silly how I'm asking this, but, I mean, yes, you're right. There, under normal circumstances, there would be more money to be made with a longer series, but you're also adding teams. Now, they're calling the qualifying round and not a part of the playoffs or the round robin, but couldn't there be some revenue, some TV money made up there, depending on, because we don't know exactly what they're going to do. Are they going to let the teams, you know, would that be on Fox Sports Tennessee for the Predators games, or does NBC get involved? How, you know, we don't know how that's going to work yet. So they could make some of it up that way. Know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, we're just talking about the more you do, the more money is in the kitty. That's
sure.
So it's just a matter of, you know, more games that are aired on television is more money the league's going to get. The more the league is going to distribute to the organizations, the more that trickles down to the players to get paid. So I don't know. I don't know what's the way – I don't know how they're going to – I'd be curious to know more about what the PA has – what the players have been talking about, the representatives. What side should they lean on? I don't know. And there's the whole safety thing.
And again, how much are you affected by where your team sits in the standings and not the good of players as a whole, right? It's difficult to separate the two sometimes.
Under this format, players may not want to be gone longer, right? They may want to be, because of the unusual circumstances, because of the way this is going to get played out, maybe they want it to be over a little bit quicker.
So over fastest, quicker. Yeah, I
the
can.
Fastest
I completely,
way for it to be over is five game series.
I completely get that. I completely get that. And only the final four. So you would only have four teams that would have the true extension and really being away from their families for a long, long time, if you did it that way. Right? If you played the qualifying and then boom, three out of five, the first two rounds, that would whittle your teams down pretty quick. But it would be costly in terms of the number of games that are on TV.
It's a fascinating question.
And maybe you go halfway. Maybe the first round's three out of five, and then rounds two through four are four out of seven. You could compromise that way.
But I'm kind of with what Darren brought up earlier. I think it should be a little more – it should be uniformed. I understand with the conference final and the cup final that doing that differently, but I think it'd be kind of weird if the first round is – best of five and the second round is best of seven. I kind of feel like you go one way or the other on
right. That's what I'm saying. Why would you have to feel one way or the other? The way I look at it, either you all the things we've laid out, either you want it to be shorter, and there's reasons for that under that category. Then you go five or longer, more traditional, more money for everybody, and you go seven for both rounds. But splitting it up, I don't know. I'm not sure I understand why you what would go into your thinking of why
well,
it's okay for the first round, but not okay for the second round.
It's a compromise, and there is a historical precedent, as we pointed out before. The first round used to be three out of five for a long, long time.
Okay.
Up until 1987.
Yeah, I don't really know how that matters now. I mean, just that it's happened before.
Well, the good news is it doesn't sound like we'll have to talk about this very long, because it sounds like, according to that Pierre LeBrun tweet, that there may be a decision by the end of the week.
Which I wonder on that, too, because one thing that I actually am okay with this whole proposal is there still are some questions that, the picture is clearer, there's a plan, but there still could be some questions. And if it's going to be a while before, camps even open – I mean, do they have to make a decision by the end of this week on how long the first and second rounds are? I don't really think they do. So I'm wondering why they're rushing to do that, unless the players just want to know to plan, which I guess I would understand.
The other thing that I think we've mentioned before that I've certainly thought about is if that date of July 1st starting the training camp it has to be pushed back for some reason, then you may have no choice but to play three out of five.
So leave yourself some wiggle room at this point.
Right.
Which we all understand, at least if you're, if you've been paying attention, that if they came out and said, hey, we're going to do best of seven first and second rounds, and then they got delayed and they go, well, I know we said best of seven. We've gotten with the players. Everybody has agreed. We're actually going to go best of five due to us being delayed. I think most people would understand that they'd have to shift their way of thinking. But that's another reason why I say why make a decision by the end of this week? You have some time, so use it.
Well, on the other hand, though, I think we should give the league some real props for coming out and being the first to set up a plan and put a plan in motion.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Not finalized, but, the NHL deserves all the love that they're going to get today. on a national stage, all the local stages around, you know, the markets in the league, all the talk that's going to be discussed, because they're the first ones to jump out there and have a plan. I mean, who knows right now where Major League Baseball is? Who knows where the NBA is? The NFL is the one that, you know, while there's no new news, nobody kind of really feels like anything's not set to be on track to what
their
customs doing.
The
college football, we don't know, really. So kudos to them for actually coming out and having a plan.
Sure, sure, absolutely. I think we've done a good job of saying that. They have, and, you know, we're sitting here talking about baseball bickering over money, and the NHL, while there is a major financial aspect to all of this, I mean, that for the most part, we haven't heard that. I mean, they came out with a plan, and, you know, yes, the players still have some things to figure out, and the league still has things to figure out, but at least we have an idea. We kind of know what it looks like. I mean, it's, you know, the analogy of the video game where you get the map to start, but it's not the full map. Well, we have the general idea of what the map looks like.
Yeah.
And know where it's going to eventually end up.
Well, speaking of that, we'll come back and talk a little bit on the Major League Baseball side, because Jeff Passan has put out there about what they've basically told the players. This is what the pay scale will look like. We'll discuss that on the other side to kind of close out Wednesday's show here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, if you own or manage a small business and you're open, you want to let people know about it, we've got Free Business Friday. Yeah, another installment of Free Business Friday here in a couple of days as we sit here on Wednesday. This Friday, we're offering free advertising to local businesses that are safely open and working. That's a no-cost, no-catch offer for you. You can visit thegamenashville.com/FBF. For more information, once again, go to thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together. That has been a big hit on our show on Fridays and throughout the shows here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So jump in there if you're just hearing this for the first time, or if you've heard it and you haven't pulled the trigger on it, you should probably get involved. Okay, let's talk about things on Major League Baseball side, because right now it's not going well. And I saw Jeff Passan put out some numbers on Twitter and on ESPN.com. And right now it continues to be what we talked about. These players and owners need to be very careful, because Major League Baseball does not want to be squabbling about money during a global pandemic. And right now they are squabbling over money during a global pandemic. And right now, the latest had the scale. This is the new scale that the players, MLBPA, was presented, was if you make basically $500,000 to $1 million, you get 72.5% of your pay. $1 million to $5 million, you're paid 50% of your pay. Now, this is going on, I think, on an 82-game schedule. $5 million to $10 million, paid at 40%. $10 million to $20 million, you are paid at 30%. And then $20 million a year and above, you will be paid at 20%. So, like, a guy like Mike Trout is set to make about $37.5 million this year. He's got the highest salary in the league. And over 82 games, that would make $19 million on the prorated basis over 82 games, but the base salary of about 5.7 would be paid out, and he's got an opportunity to make more if they make a run in the playoffs and get to the World Series. So what do you guys make of where Major League Baseball is right now? And, you know, that whole thing we've been throwing out before, it felt like all signs were pointing toward maybe them getting back on the field around the July 4th weekend. I don't know.
I don't feel very good about that.
That's not the vibe today. That may have been the vibe a week or two ago, but it's not the vibe today, at least in my book.
Well, they're going to have to close the gap fast. Now these are the important things to keep in mind. A, as you said, Darren, it doesn't look good if you're squabbling, but the problem they have is Jeff Passan and a couple other reporters have done an unbelievable job of getting access to these proposals. It's unbelievable. Yep. right, on both sides. So squabbling, I don't know what we would define as squabbling. If somebody does a Blake Snell and goes out and goes on a rant publicly, maybe that could be construed as squabbling. But if it's a different kind of squabbling, if somebody's leaking these numbers, right, it may be on both sides. But passing either way seems to get every single detail of something being proposal. But keep in mind that was the first offer, right, which was pretty extreme. That's not what they're going to agree to, I don't think, right? The players aren't going to take that, and the owners know they're not going to take that. But I think the concept of the players that are getting paid more take a bigger cut than the players that are making the minimum or $1 million or less, I was a little bit surprised to read that 65% of major league players make $1 million a year or less. Did that surprise you guys?
Yeah, that surprised me a little bit. Mm-hmm.
So do you guys agree with the concept? Forget about the actual numbers that you agree on. Do you think that that's fair? If you're a player, would you go for that? You know, you're Mike Trout. You make $35 million. Are you okay with taking a bigger cut than Kurt Casale, who makes closer to $1 million? Does that make sense to you, or should it be the same percentage for everybody?
Oh, I don't think it should be the same percentage for everybody. I think that you if you're one of those players that you make much more than everyone else, you make one of these just unreal contracts, then you just need to be realistic and take one for the team because you can afford to take one for the team. So,
but is it their job to take one for the team? They've also earned that contract.
That's the philosophical question.
Like Mike
Trout, the owners are trying to get that. Yeah,
he's earned that contract.
But also, if you're Mike Trout,
why does he need to help the guy who hasn't earned his contract yet? Mike Trout's put in the work. I'm just playing the other side, Chase.
Sure.
Why does he owe it to somebody else? Somebody that we don't even really follow makes very little money. They may be an up and comer, or they're just kind of a hanger on, or whatever the case may be. Why does he owe it to basically chew up the money that he's earned just so they can make a respectable living this year?
No, it's a fair question. I mean, my initial answer is based on the circumstances of today's time that it's simply the right thing to do because that's
maybe it's just the goodness of your heart.
Yeah,
but the number is key, right? But because you can slice it a lot of different ways. Because I do think if I'm a player, I have to come around to that. Is that a 50% pay cut to a guy making $20 million? You still get $10 million. A 50% pay cut to a guy making $1 million, that's you're making $500,000. That's the lower you go on the pay scale, the harder you're hit.
Yeah,
financially.
True.
Right? That, just for this year, right? That's mm-hmm. got to be what it is. Hey, this is just for this year.
Well, you hope.
Well, I think that's a non-starter if we're talking about anything beyond this year, right?
Well,
even
nobody knows.
I think the reality is,
I'm just saying I hope.
But I think that's what you fight for if you're a player. I'll take this year. But yeah, we're not talking about anything beyond this year for now, right? But we need to come to agreement what we can live with, knowing that you're going to get little to no ticket revenue from this season.
And that's probably the best example for your case, Chase, right there, what Willie just laid out. Is it really fair for someone, you know, who's making considerably less to chew up the same amount of chunk of their money, which is considerably less as opposed
right.
to you, which lives a different way? I mean, right, it's one thing in most businesses. You don't really have, like, in the haves and the have-nots in the baseball world, like, their lives are totally different. Like, Mike Trout lives a completely different life than Caleb Joseph and Kurt Casale.
Right.
Right?
Or
not because he's a superstar. I'm saying that salary. Like, his contract lends him a different life, completely different lifestyle than those guys.
And we're not even including, you know, money he gets for Subway commercials or anything else that, you know, he's involved in because of his star status. But that does, you know, that's something to think about too, that you know, they're getting, a lot of those big name guys are getting money from other areas.
Now, Blake Snell, who makes $7 million a year, who was so vocal, and I think came off as a jackwagon with his comments, he would get 40, he would be paid at a 40% clip of his $7 million salary. So he would get what? Was that about a little bit, $3 million? Maybe a little bit less?
Yep.
Is that right, around $3 million?
And so the question is, I don't think the owners expect the players to take that deal. There's no way. Yeah, I mean, there's just 0% chance that that will happen. So the question is, if you're the players, what do you come back with that you think is fair? You probably ask for something that the owners aren't going to take, right? Just like any negotiation. And hopefully it ping-pongs back and forth throughout the week. And then by Friday or Saturday, you're close and you can knock it out to where you can stay on time. That's what you're hoping for.
Well, they need to get
and you also have to know that every proposal you put out there is going to – Jeff Passan is going to get it. I mean, you can just say it right now. He's going to put it out there.
Somebody's going to give it to him.
Well, guess what next week is?
June. The first of June.
So they might want to get on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think everybody understands that. Jeff Passan has been saying that. All the guys, Jason Stark and Ken Rosenthal, Buster Olney, they're all saying that they know that they've got to get it done this week to stay on time.
My birthday is less than a month away. How about that?
There you go. All right. Very nice. All right. That'll do it for us today. Try to stay dry. Also be safe. Enjoy the rest of your day. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.